Blog Talk Radio.
Looking to us to have a contrite spirit, okay? So let me get that verse. I meant to get it before we started, and then went down another road. One second. All right. Anyway, we want to welcome everybody to Yahweh Global Kingdom Ministry. If you are listening online, we greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. We, as I said, we're going to be doing Pride, the Pride of Life, on this evening. It's a short precept, a lot of scripture, but a short precept, because pride is one of the things the Most High does not like at all. He looks for that person that has a contrite heart, especially when it comes to his word. And when I was looking at, I've been trying to find a way to get the laws of man on things like sexual morality versus what the Bible says, you know, to do a comparison of what man says versus what the Bible says. And then how man, what I'm finding as I think about this area more and more and contemplate it, man is mixing the laws of man with the laws of God, with the Bible. And it goes to the scripture where the Most High said, don't add to or take away from. Man is, I won't say man, I'm going to say Christianity, modern day Christianity. I want to nail this down. But modern day Christianity, what it in fact is doing is taking the standards of man and making them the standards of the Most High. Goes back to that brotherly love thing, where the Most High support a particular subject, and his word says what it says. Man, in and of his own, on his own, has chosen to change what the Most High has said and to hold, you know, themselves accountable to their own standard and not the standard of the Most High. So Christianity, I can't say everyone, I'm just going to say Christianity in general. I would have to look at each belief and see what they actually teach to, you know, to come against a particular denomination. But Christianity, Westernized Christianity to be more specific, seems to be injecting their own laws into the laws of the Most High. And this is a problem. Because the Most High says, don't add to it or take away from what I say. So I was looking at sexual immorality as far as, and this is, you know, what the church is teaching. So I'm going to actually do a lesson on that. But I'm going to actually use them as the source so that you can hear the spirit that is within them and versus what the actual word of the Most High says concerning these things. All right, with that being said, I want to welcome everybody, whether you're in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, any communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. As we go forward in this pride thing, then, you know, pride is a very big, it's a very big sin in the eyes of the Most High. And he doesn't like us putting our opinion over his. He just doesn't like it. And so we're going to look at this on this evening. We have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith and then go before the Most High. And our statement of faith reads, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah. I just read that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And of the whole matter, it is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you. We lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we extol you, Father. We extol you and we lift you up. Hallelujah to you and glory to your name, Father. Glory, 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 glory to your name. Hallelujah. You know, if we have a problem praising the Most High now, what are we going to do in eternity? When they be there for years praising him at a time. It's going to be crazy. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And I really only want to get one verse on today as far as our Sabbath scripture. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Very simple. We show that we love him by obeying his voice, keeping his commandments. That's how, you know, somebody asks you, not why do you love me, but how do you love me? And in the Most High, in his own words, keep my commandments. You want to show me you love me? Obey my voice. So it's not really anything, it don't need interpretation. It don't need explaining. It's not complicated. It's very simple. That's the best way. All right, with that being said, let us do the sounding of the shofar. Sounding of the shofar. Bye. Amen. Amen and amen. So with this one on this evening.
How to reach my family, how to reach the sea, yes I am. Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written, freely given, children read. 28 Deuteronomy's 15 from 68 proclaim. If we disobey, broke the covenant, that we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our enemy and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years for disobedience. We bear the shame. We bear the shame.
Israel been asleep for so long. We can't tell which way we going, right or wrong. Pouring to the sun, got in the churches on the first day.
Sunday.
Calling on Jesus who threw the law away. This led to 400 years of oppression and depression. Should we by now have learned our lesson? Shackles are off, but our mind's in a deceptive state. What do you think is gonna be our end state? The lake?
How to reach my family. How to reach the seed of Israel. Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written, freely given, children read. 28 Deuteronomy 15, 68 proclaim. If we disobey, broke the covenant, that we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years of disobedience and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying. 400 years, 400 years, 400 years, 400 years. We've been the tail and not the head. The scripture says 400 years, 400 years in a land that is. 400 years against our enemy, we've had no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobedience, death.
We blind up in Babylon, hate is getting whipped on. Still practice voodoo while we sing that Obama's song. Before we arrive to the kingdom, must come out of her. Spiritually and physically, wean ourselves from her. We must believe in Yah and herself, no trash from her. Mystery Babylon, the wickedness she be on. Man, our people minds gone, suicidal brains blown. However, Yah is in control, we must take hold and be strong. And join the fold, this is not a show. Bump this in your whip, turn off the radio.
Drawing up to the time. Drawing up to the time. 400
I worship you.
He's our only way. Hallelujah. All right. The pride of life. Pride. By the dictionary, the reference.com, pride is a noun. And one of the definitions is a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing, conduct, etc. Definition number two, the state or feeling out of being proud. Definition number three, a becoming or dignified sense of what is due to one's self, respect, self-esteem. Four, pleasure or satisfaction taken in something done by oneself, done by or belonging to oneself or believed to reflect credit upon oneself, such as in civic pride. Five, something that causes a person or persons to be proud. His art collection was the pride of the family. So these are the definitions of pride as far as man is concerned. Go to Isaiah 66 and 2. The book of Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2, because this is what the Most High is looking for. And then we're going to look at this, how he looks at pride. Isaiah 66 and 2. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says Yah. But to this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. You know, when you tremble at the word of the Most High, this means that this more goes beyond respect. It really talks about fear, fearing of transgressing against him, fearing that something is going to happen to you if you do. It's not something good. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. And this is the email that, this is the verse that I put in all my emails that I send out. This is part of my signature in my email. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. Let me find my Bible and pull it up. The book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Can't make yourself what you want to make yourself, or think that you're more than what you are, but then the scriptures say you deceive yourself. You are puffed up. And you're puffed up in this way, false, because you're thinking that you're something that you're really not. Corinthians chapter 1, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be getting verses 19 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. No, 19 through 31. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Those people who believe that they have more wisdom than God, who believe in their type of wisdom, which is usually based upon the world. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe, the teacher? Where is the disputer of this world? Because, you know, we're always talking about how the world is and how wrong it is and yada, yada, yada. Has not Elohim made foolish the wisdom of the world? You know, anytime you look at the Bible and you compare it to what man thinks is wise, the Most High says, I use those things to tear you down, okay, to break you. For after that, in the wisdom of Elohim, the world by wisdom knew not Elohim. In all the world's wisdom, it comes down to they didn't know God. They based their wisdom off of their own carnality, their own natural things, and not off of what the Most High said. Let's continue here. For after that, in the wisdom of Elohim, the world by wisdom knew not Elohim. It pleased Elohim by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Some of the things that are taught The world itself thinks that is foolishness. When the true word of the Most High is taught, when man interjects his own wisdom into the Bible, when he interjects his own law and mixes it with the laws of God, his standards, his judgments, then the Bible makes sense to a lot of people. But when we just go strictly by the word of the Most High, a lot of people don't understand the word of the Most High. They think it's foolishness. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, because they didn't want to believe, you know, not all the Jews, but a lot of the Jews didn't believe in a resurrection. Okay, Christ crucified and resurrected. Stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, both Jew and Gentiles, Christ the power of Elohim and the wisdom of Elohim. That's what Christ means. That's what that title means. You know, the church will teach you that Christ means anointed. But it really means the power and the wisdom of Elohim. Because the foolishness of Elohim is wiser than men. Most I said, I'm going to use somebody's death to save you, to give you life. And the weakness of Elohim is stronger than man. Who are you calling, brethren? How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Everybody who thinks they're wise, they have a problem with this word. They have a problem with the word of the Most High. He says they have a problem. They're not many of them are called because they're caught up in their own wisdom. But Elohim has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound, to confuse the wise. And Elohim has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Using weakness against what we consider to be strength. Using foolishness against what men consider to be wise. And base things of the world and the things which are the Elohim chose, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So the Most High says, what you think, I'm going to do the opposite of it to bring you to your knees. To show you that you don't really know anything. And my foolishness, the things that I consider to be foolish, are wiser than your wisest thoughts. So if you think that doing what you want to do based on what I say to do, then you are unwise. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Yeshua HaMashiach, who of Elohim is made unto us wisdom. Us being in Messiah is a wise thing. Why? Because us being in Messiah allows us to come back to the Most High in the way that he wants us to come back to him. But the world is still taking that and twisting it. I was on Hebrew Connect. I used to put out a Sabbath, you know, just a Sabbath greeting on Hebrew Connect because it's all Hebrews out there. And so I'll say Sabbath peace, and I'll usually give a verse or whatever, you know, just to say, I'm participating on the site, and, I advertise the microgreens on there and that kind of stuff. So I asked, I gave the Sabbath peace to the site, everybody on the site, and then I said, I have a question. I said, what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? That's the question, and left it at that. Didn't give a verse. And I wanted to see if anybody would bite on it. And what happened was, you know, people came by, they saw it, and they said they loved the comment, but they didn't reply to it. And most of the verses that I put out there, because I put verses out there that make people have to think about their walk. People would love it, but they don't really comment to it. Now, if I put something out there about microgreens and, you know, the nutritional value and those types of things, they comment to that stuff. But when I come at them with scriptures, even our own people don't really reply. Okay? And so there's a certain spirit among us that, you know, that we will reply to. But it's really not, it's not scriptural. It's based upon Hebrewism, you know, and how we have to fight and that kind of stuff. You know, but from a natural sense, count on the Most High in the battle. But when it comes to obeying Him and things like that, we don't really participate in that stuff. Okay, so I said all that to say this. It just sort of kind of amazes me that, you know, we are supposedly in the Word, but when we ask really a simple question, a lot of our people are afraid to touch. So, you know, I went back today after the service today, after this morning's lesson, and I put out there, I put Numbers chapter 15 in the verses where the Most High was saying, you know, the same reproaches the Lord. And I said, a clue is in this verse. So I want to see if anybody will bite on it so we can have this, start to have this diatribe a conversation on this subject within the community. You know, the owner of the community put out a message earlier this week or last week. Was talking about, you know, the condition of the relationship of, you know, of our Hebrew family and how we are just a mess. You know, I've been saying that for a long time, but he put that out there and I was going to comment on it, and then it sort of disappeared. I couldn't find his message anymore. But, you know, it's one of the things that our people are troubled with. And so, you know, trying to get a dialogue to start to where we can really start looking at ourselves, because we have to count on self, come out of these things. But back to the scripture. But of him are you in Yeshua HaMashiach, who of Elohim is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in Yah. So when we are full of pride, then even the doctrine of Messiah, who he is, what he did for us, how he brings us into salvation, for a lot of people is foolishness. They don't understand it. They don't understand, you know, what the Most High was doing with Messiah. And they don't understand that salvation. Because I'm using the base things. I'm using the weak things. I'm using the foolish things that the Most High said, these things are foolishness with me. But I use them to break your wisdom, because you think you're so wise, you don't know anything. And that wisdom that the world has comes from pride. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9, the book of Jeremiah chapter 9. And let's get verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorifies glory in this, that he understands and knows Yah, that I am Yah, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith Yah. So don't let, you know, the wise man glory in his own wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his own might. And don't let the rich man glory in his riches. Most High says, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That's what we should be glorying in. That's what we should be, you know, be prideful of. That we know, we truly know the Most High, and we know his ways and what he has said of himself. and we walk in that. Because that's what you glory in, that's what you have pride in, that you keep his laws, that you obey his voice. Go to Job chapter 32, the book of Job chapter 32. And we're going to get verses 7 through 9. Job chapter 32, verses 7 through 9. I said days of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. It is the Almighty. It is Elohim that gives understanding. It is he that gives wisdom. And he said, the beginning of all wisdom is what? We'll come back to that verse. But the beginning of all wisdom. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Now, the Most High accuses Israel and us today that we don't keep his judgment. We don't understand him. We come up with our own judgment. We come up with our own judgment. No, Most High, I don't think that that's fair. I don't think that that's right. Surely you didn't say that. Surely that's not your way. That's what men do. They come up with their own judgment. And the age, no matter how old they are, if they are not in agreement with him, they don't understand judgment. Most I said, if you do this, this is the judgment. If you do that, here's the kicker. This is my judgment. So when we relate this to a court, when the judge makes a ruling, that's kind of final unless you're going to appeal and take it to the next level court. But when you get to the highest court, you cannot appeal any higher than that. That word is final. So when it comes to the Most High and he makes a judgment about something, there is no appeal of that. There is no saying, oh, there's a different understanding. His word is final on it. He is the Most High. He's above every judge in the land, every man on the planet, every woman on the planet. So we have to understand, even the aged, a lot of times don't understand the judgment that the Most High gives, because surely he don't mean that to me. We're only human. Most High says, I made you. I know that. This is my judgment. Let's get verses 12. Let's just keep reading. We'll go down through 17. Therefore, I said, listen to me. I also will show my opinion. Behold, I wait for your words. I gave ear to your reason. Will you search out what to say? Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, or that answered his words. Least you should say, we have found out wisdom. Elohim thrust him down, not man. Now he has not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed. Now this is Job and his friends. And his friends, you know, Job asked them a question, and they came at Job with their own understanding. But Job said, hey, I'm going to listen to the Most High. They were amazed, and they answered no more. They left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show my opinion. Okay, and a lot of times, it's just that. It's an opinion. People give their opinion on a matter, and the problem is if it contradicts the word of the Most High. If their opinion contradicts the word of the Most High, then they're not coming from the Most High. It's only their opinion. And then they are contrary to the word of the Most High. Let's go to Job 33. The book of Job, chapter 33, let's get verses 12 through 17. Now, Job is talking about the Most High, and he's telling what the Most High does. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that Elohim is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? Why do you strive against the Most High? He giveth not account of any of his matters. The Most High don't answer to nobody. So why are you fighting with him? Why are you striving against him and his judgment, his word, his laws? For Elohim speaks once, yet twice, that man perceives it not. Man don't understand it. The word of the Most High. In a dream and in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumbering upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. I'm going to give you your purpose so that you aren't prideful. I'm going to hide pride from you because it ain't going to come from your own. What I'm about to do with you don't come from your own wisdom. It comes from me. So he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. The book of Isaiah, chapter 64. And let's get verse 6. Isaiah 64 and 6. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our righteousness, if we think that we are right, no matter if it don't line up with the word of the Most High, he says our righteousness is as a filthy rag. That filthy rag that he's talking about is the menstrual rag of a woman. He says your righteousness is as dirty as that. If you don't line up with me, then your righteousness really is nothing. He's the one that gives us wisdom on the right path. He's the one that takes us out of our foolishness. Because we think that we know some stuff, but what you know is really filthy. What you think is right in my standards is really not right, and it's unclean. Job chapter 35, the book of Job chapter 35. So we can't compare our righteousness with his. It's because our righteousness is as a filthy rag. If we think something is right and contradict him, he says, don't even think that your righteousness is anything. It's as a filthy rag to me. Job chapter 35 and starting in verse 2. We're gonna go through 8. Thinkest thou this to be right? Thou that saidest, my righteousness is more than Elohim? You think that your righteousness, you think you're right? For thou saidest, what advantage will it be unto thee? And what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin. What am I going to gain by being cleansed from my sin? I'm happy in my sin. What do I gain from, I will answer you and thy companions with thee. Look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than you. If thou sinnest, what dost thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what dost thou unto him? In other words, look unto the heavens and behold the clouds which are higher than you. And if you sin, what does it do against Elohim? It don't affect him. And if you transgress, your transgressions be multiplied, what does it do to him? It don't affect him. So this thing ain't about him. It's about us. If you be righteous, what givest thou him? What does your righteousness give to Elohim? Nothing. Or what receiveth he of your hand? You were righteous. You know, you didn't give the Most High anything. Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man, may profit a man like you are, but it don't do nothing for the Most High. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none said, where is Elohim, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who reaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the fowls of heaven? None of y'all say that. But our right and our wickedness don't do anything to the Most High. Don't do anything to him. Don't do anything for him. It's for us to become like him. You want to be my son? You want to be my children? You got to be like me. But you being righteous or wicked don't do nothing to me or for me. Go to Job chapter 22. The book of Job chapter 22. Three. 1-3. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, can a man be profitable unto Elohim, as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? So Eliphaz is saying, what you're doing doesn't do anything for the Most High. Will the Most High reprove you, correct you, for fear of you? Will he enter with thee into judgment? In other words, will he ask you what the judgment should be, what the verdict should be? He don't team up with us on anything. That's why I tell people, the Most High don't ask our opinion about nothing. He tells us what he wants. He tells us what we should think that we do it. He don't team up with us and say, hey, let us make a decision on this thing and how you should act in it and what you should do. It is, so you got to think about this. Is it any pleasure to the Most High, the Almighty, that you are righteous? It's the way you just should be. No, that don't really give me no pleasure. If you doing right gives me pleasure or gives me satisfaction, he says, it don't. But if you do wrong, the punishment is this. This is just the way you should be. It's like you rewarding somebody because they show up at work. You show up at work on time. That's what you're supposed to do. And the Most High says, well, I told you the minimum standard is you being righteous. That's the minimum standard. You're not great for doing that. But we become puffed up. So we got to understand that you say, hey, I don't get nothing out of that. That should just be your natural way, your natural standard, that you do right, that you keep the law, that you don't transgress, that you show up for work on time. You want to impress me? Show me how great is your love, how you will sacrifice yourself for your fellow man. That'll impress me. Proverbs chapter 8. Verses 13 through 15. The book of Proverbs chapter 8. Verses 13 through 17. The fear of Yah is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. What does this word froward mean? Look up this word. Let me see what the English dictionary says it is. Froward. Not forward, but froward. Let's see. The Webster's definition of froward. Turned or looking from, perverse, that is turning from, with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply with what is required, unyielding, ungovernable, refractory, disobedient, tedious, as a froward child. So this is somebody who don't really care what the word says. This is how they're going to be. That's a froward mouth. They are very froward generation of children in whom is no fear. So he says, I hate pride and I hate arrogance and I hate the evil way and I hate the froward mouth. Do I hate? Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. But by me princes rule. And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now these are all also talking about wisdom and the Most High. We go back to verse 1. This is what this is talking about. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Now, it's comparing wisdom to a female. She stands in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the path. She cries at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors, or at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Wisdom. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be you of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, not silver. And knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell in prudence. See, this is wisdom as an attribute of the Most High, speaking as though it is an individual, and he's saying that it's a female trait. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And find out knowledge of witty invention. Fear of Yah is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom hates those things. So if you're wise, you will hate evil. You will hate pride. You will hate arrogancy or to be arrogant. You will hate the evil way. You will hate the froward mouth that is, you know, is truly in disobedience. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. The book of Proverbs chapter 6. And let's get verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things does Yah hate. Seven are an abomination unto him. So six things he hates, the seventh is an abomination to him. The most I hate, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceiveth wicked imagination, feet that be swift to running to mischief, sword among the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. So the Most High says, the thing that is an abomination to him is a false witness that speaks lies. Somebody that lies on someone. And he that sows discord among the brethren. Chapter 8, verse 13, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 19, we just read that. No, we didn't. Let's read it. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through, I guess we did read that, 16 through 19. Proverbs 21, verses 4, 1 through 4. The book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. It's in the hand of Yah. As the rivers of water, he turns it whatsoever he will. The Most High, the king is supposed to be governed by the Most High. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But Yah ponders the heart. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to Yah than sacrifice. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to Yah than sacrifice. Because I never wanted to sacrifice the bulls and goats. I wanted you to be just and provide righteous judgment. That's more acceptable to Yah than sacrifice. High look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look, like you're above everybody else, and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Psalms chapter 10. The book of Psalms chapter 10. And let's get verses 1 through 7. Psalms chapter 10, verse 7. Why standest thou afar off, O Yah? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and bless the covetous, whom Yah abhorreth. So the wicked boasts in his heart's desire, and the wicked bless the person or the people that are covetous, who Yah hates. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after Elohim. Elohim is not in all his thoughts. Words. Webster's definition of continence, literally the contents of a body, the outline and the extent which constitutes the whole figure or external appearance. Appropriately, the human face, the whole form of the face or system of features. A-T-H. Properly the nose or the nostril. Hence the face and occasionally a person also from the rapid breathing and passion. Anger. Angry before. Continent. So when we read this verse, when a person that they, you know, that they're looked at all that in a bag of chips and they're puffed up by it, the Most High says, the wicked do that through their pride. And they will not seek after Elohim because they actually place themselves above Elohim. He's not in their thoughts. The only one in their thoughts is them. Oh, I look so good. You ought to bless me because I look so good. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffed up at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. For I shall never be in adversity. They're counting on their look, their pride of their look. And that's how they get, you know, what they want. His mouth is full of cursing and defraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Go to Mark chapter 7. The book of Mark chapter 7. And let's get verses 20 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. That what cometh out of his mouth. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, murders, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. So pride comes out of a person's what? Heart. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Out of the heart. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. The book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Proverbs, chapter 13. We'll get verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Want to argue all the time. Want to have, you know, our own say. Have an opinion. But with the well advised is wisdom. Let's look at this word contention. This is out of pride comes contention. In the English, that word contention means strife, struggle, a violent effort to obtain something, to resist a person, claim or injury, contest, to quarrel. In the Hebrew, this word is matzah, a quarrel, contention, debate, strife. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11, the book of Proverbs chapter 11. And we're going to get verses 1 through 3. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. A false balance is an abomination to Yah, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Verse 3. The integrity of the upright, shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. So he says in verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs, chapter 16, 1 through 6. We're actually just going to get verses 1 through 22. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 22. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from Yah. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but Yahweh's the spirit, the heart. Commit thy works unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall be established. Yah has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the evil day. Yah said he made the wicked for the evil day. Everyone, so, you know, we think Yah's for everybody, but Yah says he makes vessels of honor and dishonor. Everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination to Yah. Though a hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of Yah, men depart from evil. By the fear of Yah, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please Yah, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. So if you're getting your revenue by doing wrong, you say, hey, better is a little with righteousness. Better you have a little and be right than have a lot and be wrong. A man's heart devises his way, but Yah directs his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. A just weight and balance are Yah's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. So when you got a wicked king, his throne is supposed to be established on what? Following the laws of the Most High. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. So the wrath of a king, when you make a king angry, and this is what, you know, most Americans don't understand because we live in a democracy. King in his land is sovereign. Whatever he says goes. So if you have made the king mad, the messengers coming to you may be bringing you death for transgressing him or making him angry. So he says, if you're a wise man, you will pacify his anger. You will pacify his wrath. In the light of the king's countenance is light, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen, than silver? So let me read that again. I feel like I read it wrong. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Bam! Exclamation mark. And to get understanding rather than to be chosen, silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his ways preserveth his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So a proud spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty or a puffed up spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusts in Yah, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. But instruction of fools is folly. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. and let's get verses 2 and 3 and then 5 through 7. Let's get verses 1 through 7. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucketh down with her own hands. So what is he saying there? The wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman plucks down her house with her own hands. He that walks in his uprightness fears Yah, but he that is perverse in his own ways despises him. In the mouth of foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve him. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increased strength of the ox. I have to even contemplate that one. The crib, I think, is not a crib of a baby, but it's like, if I'm not mistaken, it's like the ox's pen. But let's look and see. That word in the Hebrew is a voice, a manger, or a stall. The crib, that's the manger or the stall. So where there's no oxen, the stall is clean. But much increased by the strength of the ox. So you need an ox. With an ox, you can carry a lot of weight. You can plow the ground. You can lift large logs. He says, so, you know, they do everywhere. But they're useful. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understands, And we're going down through 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So get away from a foolish person. Proverbs chapter 29. Let's get verse 9, then 11, then 20, then 23. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 9. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. In other words, a wise man and a foolish man really just can't get along. Under no circumstance. Verse 11. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. Tell everything you know. Trying to appear to be wise. But a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. So he heard the whole matter. Then he only speaks what he needs. Verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. A man that is quick in his words, there is more hope of a fool than in that person. 3. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So pride brings you low. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 28. The book of Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 28. Might as well just start in verse 1. And he began to teach by the seaside. He began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. Remember, parables were not easy for them to understand. And said unto them in his doctrine. So now we should be able to understand this, but the masters at the time and even those that are Understanding is not given to them. They won't understand this even today. Hearken, listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell upon among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that it sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to understand, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. Now, he's got a multitude listening. But his disciples and some people that were that stayed around, they don't understand his parables. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of Elohim. But unto them that are without, outside, all these things are done in parables. Is done so that they can't understand it. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes and immediately taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. The word gets in them, but it don't stay in them because they are, their heart is really shallow. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of this world. So people will hear the word of the Most High and allow the cares of this world to outrule it, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enters in. Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Because he expects us all to prosper together. He expects us to have all things equal and in common. But because of pride, people get puffed up and say, oh, well, I need this big house. I need this such and such a type of car. I need to live in this neighborhood. It's not what the Most High wants. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not be set on a candlestick? Now, that's common sense. You bring a candle, you don't set it up under a bushel because it sets the whole bushel on fire. Be out of control. If you put it up under the bed, it's going to light the bed on fire. Nothing hid, which shall not be manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So let him understand. He says people who are outside are not going to understand this. People who is not given to understand this, they won't understand it. They'll hear it, but they won't understand it. They'll still be caught up in the cares of this world. For the most part, that's most people being caught up in the cares of this world. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So you don't know me if you don't keep my commandments. You say you know me, but you don't know me. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever knoweth his word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You know that you're in him if you keep his commandments. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Now, again, I can't understand how the church says they're not up under the law, because Messiah kept the law. He did not sin. And so if they're trying to be like him, then they have to walk as he walked, not sinning. Have to come to that. Verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So we have to understand that. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of Elohim abides forever. So you can't love. That's what, you know, when you look at the story of Adam and Eve, and you look at what the devil did to her, he appealed to the lust of her flesh. He appealed to the lust of her eyes. He appealed to the pride of life in her. I shall be like the Most High. This fruit is good for food, the lust of her flesh. And it looks beautiful to the eye, the lust of the eye. And it is to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. That's what happened to her. She was worldly. In the garden, chapter 26, verse 21. For behold, Yah cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Because men kill out of pride. They kill out of all those things that come out of the heart, out of a wicked heart. That's what Yah is coming to do, to punish the world for its iniquity, its transgressions of his law. 7:1. In that day, Yah with his sword and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan. Leviathan is that crooked serpent. It represents Satan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, seeing you unto her, a vineyard of red wine. So the Most High says, I'm coming to destroy the crooked one. That's what the serpent in the ocean represents in this parable or in this verse. Satan. End up with Job chapter 41. The book of Job chapter 41. Now let's get verses 1 through 4 and then 33 through 34. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook in his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? And represents Satan. And can you make a covenant with him? Can you control him? You can't. 33 and 34. Upon the earth there is not like it. Upon the earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholds all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Because he's so big, and because he, you know, like a whale, if you did, you know, without mechanical devices that man has made to try to make the Most High, you know, try to make his word false, then if you were in the ocean and you came upon Leviathan, a whale, then you would not be any competition for him. And this is a representation of Satan. And because the whale is so mighty, and you couldn't, you know, you couldn't stick a thorn through his jaw, or you couldn't hook him with just an ordinary hook, you know, like a fishing hook. He's very prideful. And he says he's the king over the children of pride, because he hopes in his strength. He hopes in his own might. But the Most High says, I'm going to control Leviathan, because he's proud. So we see that the Most High hates pride. Back to Isaiah chapter 66 and 2. Isaiah 66 and 2. Start. Verses 1 and 2. But thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. As if you are poor in spirit and you tremble and you have a contrite spirit and you tremble at his word, you will know that you cannot be prideful. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before him. So we can't boast of how right we are, how good we are, especially in comparison to him. He says, don't even do it with your fellow man. Just doing right is my minimum standard. You add to me when you do right. Don't think that you impress me when you do right. And the only context that I can put it into, the boss is not impressed with you when you show up to work on time. They expect for you to show up to work on time. That is the minimum standard. I'm paying you. You should at least be here on time, if not before. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah, keep his commandments, and do away with pride in your life. Because the Most High hates you. Because he wants those of a contrite heart and that tremble at his word. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your Shabbat.
can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Brother Gary. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Shalom,
my family, my sisters. Shalom, peace and blessing to you all. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Shalom.